Verse 15, He's made the earth. Verse 16, when He utters His voice, these are things God does. Verse 17, every man, underline this verse, this is a good verse right in the core here about what idolatry does. Every man is brutish by his knowledge. The word brutish means he's like a brute. He's like a beast. Every man is made like a brute beast, like a reprobate animal. And that's what they're after. They want you to feel like you're an animal. They want you to feel like you are just going to do what comes naturally. You're not responsible. You don't have anybody to account to. You have no consequence to worry about because you are just a product of circumstance. Just a biological mess that came out of the primordial soup. And I like what Dr. Adrian Rogers said. If we came out of the soup, we've gone from soup to nuts because we're a mess down here. It's true, isn't it? It's out of control. But we need to answer to a holy God who created us, who stretched out the heavens, who is the true God. He says they're all made brutish. And they're made brutish by knowledge, by their knowledge, or by knowledge, not by His knowledge, but by knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the image that he's graven up. You know, we think, wow, you know, I'm so glad I don't live then. But we got our own idols. Idols are anything we set up in front of us that causes us to stumble in our relationship with God. That can be a TV. It can be music. It can be building a house. It can be a good thing. The plowing of the wicked sin. If I think I got to go plow instead of go to church. If I got, I think I got to do everything other than follow God. If I think I got to sleep. You know, do you think a pillow could be an idol? Oh, I love my pillow. I can't get up. I'm so, oh, it's so good. Don't miss me. Preach it. You don't have to get up. Everything can do these things. They can kind of undermine our walk with God. Can they not? I think so. The Bible says that they're made brutish by their knowledge. The Bible says that they're great. They're made confounded by their graven images in verse 17. His molten image is falsehood. There's no breath in them. They are nothing in verse 18. They're the work of errors in the time of their visitation. They shall perish. When God comes in like a flood, especially at the end of the tribulation, it will be once and done and wiped out forever. But, verse 19, the portion of Jacob is not like them. And what is he saying? He's saying their idols are nothing. They were simply, they were nothing. But look at verse 20. They were simply, not only were their idols nothing, but they were nothing. As a nation, they were just a battle axe. They were just a weapon and a tool God uses. And He says, for with thee I will break in pieces in verses 20 and following. Actually, 20 to 24, He just keeps saying, I'm going to break in pieces, I'm going to break in pieces, I'm going to break in pieces. He says, I'm just going to use you to break people down. I'm just going to use you as my battle axe. Literally, the idea is a mace. We don't think of maces, but maces were those big balls with spikes on them that they would swing around on chains. That's a mace. He says, you are my mace. God says, I'm running Babylon through the nations to wipe everybody out. He's smacking that one, and he's smacking that one, and he's smacking that one. Why? We found out why, didn't we? Because they treated Israel wrong. Because they abused Israel. Because they hated, envied, hurt, betrayed Israel. Whatever their culpability, it had something to do with how they treated the covenant people. Why? Because they were a stewardship of those nations, just like they are a stewardship for the nations of our day. Did you hear today, or it was this day or yesterday, I heard it, that Iran's nuclear program was set back by 2 years by some insidious virus that got into their computer programming. Nobody knows who did it, but they think it might have been Israel. But they're not saying anything because they're not stupid. Oh, we take all responsibility. We broke everybody. We blew everybody up. It's us. And we will conquer the world. Israel's down there saying that. Now shut up and go back to your corner. Just a virus. Nobody died on either side. See, He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. Bible says in those verses that God used them simply as His battle axe. But in verse 24, I will render unto Babylon and to all the inhabitants of the Chaldea all their evil that they have done in Zion in your sight. That is a promise to the people of Israel. And again, these are vignettes. These are all many sermons that were preached through the years. You know you never heard me in the beginning. You know you were too busy being deluded by your foolish ideas that if you'll just believe it's going to go away, it'll go away. Well, now, let me just go back and remind you, he said this, he said this, he said this, and I haven't changed my mind. Aren't you glad God doesn't change His mind about those things that concern us? He really does love us. He is committed to us. Verse 25 through 33 is where we see the fate of Babylon, which is ultimately devastation. In verses 34 and 35. I've actually skipped over the fate of Babylon. It's 25 to 33. And 25 to 33, he says, "Behold, I am against thee," in verse 25. And he's talking about Babylon. He says, "No stones are going to be taken," in verse 26. Nobody's even going to say, "Hey, this is Babylon. We'll just take some stones and make our house on this. This will be cool." No, it's not even going to be worth that. You're going to be such a non-issue. So they're going to suffer being, and nobody's even going to give them any press. There's not going to be any of that. Minor nations are going to be called up in verse 27. Little nations are mentioned. And then the big nation in verse 28 is the Medes. They're going to come. All of them are going to come and take part in this conquest. The land is going to be a desolation in verse 29. It says, "And the land shall tremble in sorrow, and every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitant." But also, he's going to bring the men to naught. He says, "The men are going to be as women, made in their hearts to faint." In verse 30, he says that the mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They're afraid. They have remained in their holds. Their might hath failed. They have become as women. They're hiding. They're scared to death. They're chewing their nails. They're scared to death. This is overwhelming. It says, "They burned her dwelling places and her bars are broken, so fire's coming." Ultimately, it is a harvest that God brings upon them. Verse 33, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. It is time to thresh. Yet a little while, and the time of her harvest shall come." Now, though Babylon physical was destroyed and wiped out in those years, and I think it was like 512 or 612 BC, what we see is that they actually, though they were wiped out as a people, their influence and impact abides today. And that's what we'll see being judged in the book of Revelation in verses chapter 17 and 18. Well, turning the corner, the flow of Babylon in verses 34 to 44 is all about how the nations used to flow to her. Everybody came to her. Doesn't it sound like America today? Boy, everybody comes to America. We got all the commerce. You think America can fall? No way. It's too big to sink. No. God says, "I can show you some really, really amazing stuff." And in about 2 years, He's shown us some pretty amazing stuff. And in a month, this month, they're trying to wipe us out as far as they can get us wiped out before this Congress is off its duty. They're trying to mess us up. And guess what? Because God is God, because He has designed certain designations, it's happening. We're seeing stuff happening because we're saying, "We want it. We want more free money. We want more free stuff. We want to not have to work. We want don't ask, don't tell." We are in a day where anything goes. And we're saying to God, "Hey," and thumbing our nose at Him. It's unfortunate, but it brings the wrath. And it begs the wrath. And a harvest will come. The Bible says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap." Verses 34 to 44. Israel groans in verses 34 and 35. "Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, has devoured me. He hath crushed me. He hath made me an empty vessel," and so forth. Verse 35. "The violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon." They're crying out for that. They're hoping. And it says, this is all what Judah's Jerusalem will say. And then in verse 36, we see God promises vengeance. "Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will plead thy cause." And what's the vengeance going to look like? Verse 37, it's going to be desolation. "They'll become heaps of dwelling places of dragons, an astonishment, hissing, and without inhabitant." Verse 39, tells us it will be a reprobation. "In their heat they shall make feasts, and I will make them drunken, that they may rejoice and sleep a perpetual sleep." Sounds a little bit like Belshazzar. He's out there partying with the Lord's vessels, acting like nothing to worry about. The hand appears, and he gets his warning. But really, it's about reputation. People get inoculated and overwhelmed by their prosperity. And he actually uses this verse later on in the passages ahead. But he says, sleep a perpetual sleep. That means that their consciences are cauterized. Verse 41 shows their humiliation. How is Shishak taken? Talking about Babylon. How is the praise of the whore surprised? How has Babylon become an astonishment among the nations? Humiliation. These are the ways God pays them back. With desolation, reprobation, humiliation. But also, in the midst of it all, there's always the beauty of salvation. Verse 44. I will punish Bel in Babylon, and I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he hath swallowed up. And the nation shall not flow together anymore unto him. In other words, he's going to bring back Israel out of her mouth. That's what he's going to do. That's salvation. In the midst of all of this, God can preserve his people. Just like when the flood of Noah occurred, 8 souls spared. Why? Because God can. Because God can. Build a boat this big, and it'll be okay. If they'd have bought it this big, not so much. This big, then you're good. So, God knows how to preserve those. We see that in Jude. We see that in 1 Peter, or 2 Peter, I believe it is. He says if God knows how to reserve, then he can certainly reserve them as well. And then finally, 45 to 58, the futility in Babylon. God's going to deliver his people from ruin in verse 45. My people, go out of the midst of her, deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord. This is another message, and it's the same word that he had said in the earlier message. He says, from ruin he's delivering them. Verses 46 to 49, there's a suggestion there were rumors. You know what the answer to rumors are? And the rumors they had was, well, what are all those other gods going to do? They're going to be mad. That's like New Agey, isn't it? It's like, okay, we believe in God, but, you know, I kind of also believe in, you know, astrology. You know, I'm an Aquarius, I'm a Libra, I'm a Virgo, whatever you are. You know, people are talking like that's legitimate. We live in that neighborhood. The church is got so many accoutrements. Those things mean nothing. Oh, I believe in ghosts. Really? You know how you get by believing in ghosts? You read the Bible. There's a great golf fix. When you get a little truth, you don't have any problem with this. You know it's not ghosts, it's demons. And they've been around all along. And the only reason they stay back as far as they do is because the earlier generation of demons got put in chains for being misbehaving, and they just don't really want to go there. They're scared of our God. The Bible says in verses 45, well, let's see if I can give you the passage on the rumors. Verses 46 through 49, look what it says. It says, therefore, behold, the days come. Oh, I went down one too far. Lest your heart faint and you fear for the rumors that you've heard in the land. A rumor shall both come one year and after that in another year. And come a rumor and a violence in the land and ruler against ruler. Therefore, behold, the days come. I will do judgment upon the graven images of Babylon. And her whole land shall be confounded and all her slain shall fall in the midst of her. Then the heavens and the earth and all that are therein shall sing for Babylon. Be rejoicing over that fall. For the spoilers shall come unto her from the north. Thus says the Lord, or saith the Lord. As the Babylon hath caused the slain of Israel to fall, so Babylon shall fall slain of all the earth. You know what he's saying? He's saying the way you overcome the rumors is to get a good dose of the truth. I've been telling you all along they're going to fall. And you know what? There's going to be a day when it's in the rearview mirror and you're going to say, okay, we're leaving, we're heading home, we're going to tell about the works of God in Zion. Why? Well, because we're delivered. Just like God said we would be. People who like to split hairs and go really metaphorical in their Bible understanding get in big, big trouble because they forfeit the foundation of their faith. Verse 50 is where he kind of turns the corner and he tells them they get delivered unto rest. He says, ye that have escaped from the sewer, go your way and stand not still. Remember the Lord afar off and let Jerusalem come into your mind. They're in between now. Babylon's destroyed. They're going home. Bring Jerusalem in your mind and know you're going home. Rest. Jerusalem, city of shalom. Jerusalem. City of peace. Rest. He brings us into rest. Verse 51. We are confounded because we have heard reproach. He's going to deliver them from reproach. Verse 51. Shame hath covered our faces, for strangers are coming to the sanctuaries of the Lord's house. Not no more. That was their old word. Not no more. They're going home. Verse 53 through 57, he's saying spoilers have come. Over and over again, you'll see the word spoilers in those verses because he's going to spoil Babylon. And also he's going to deliver them from any retribution. In verse 58, he says, "Thus says the Lord, the broad walls of Babylon shall utterly be broken. Her high gates shall be burned with fire, and the people shall labor in vain, and the folk in the fire, and they shall be weary." What he's saying is, you know, if when I was a little kid, good way to end this. When I was a little kid, there was this big boy. He was about a foot taller than me, and he always picked on me. His name was Frank, and Frank would pick on me. So I had to take care of myself, you know. So I'd popped him one. And I was just hoping he wouldn't catch me. But I popped him one at the right time. I popped him one when the teacher was nearby. So if I was getting got, he'd break it up before I got gone. Okay, so anyway, my point is this. These guys are getting loose from the biggest, baddest guy on the block. And God said, "I'm going to wipe them out so much you don't have to worry about him coming back and getting you later. They're going to weary themselves. I'm delivering you completely." And Israel would, from that point on, be free from all of their idolatrous tendencies. They would say, "God is God." They became legalistic and Pharisaical and Sadduceical and formalistic and all that. But they never went back to idolatry. And when Jesus came, they should have been ready for him, but they weren't. Because they still had their flesh and their pride to contend with. He tells Sariah to go out there and tell these people all the things that he's just written. And he tells them to do that so that they will be comforted while they're spending 70 years in a foreign land as if they don't matter to God. No, you remember, you matter to God. And you and I can transpose that to us, can't we? You matter to God. No matter what happens, you matter to God. If you're his child, he'll never forget you. And if you've sinned away the day where everything is so messed up and you don't know which way's up, God is faithful. And that's a good word to take home with us this evening. If you can, hold on to it, because God is faithful. And when Revelation comes undone around us, it's going to be exciting to watch it happen and walk in the rearview mirror with it, looking back saying, "He did it! He did it just like he said he was going to do it. He took down all the nations and he established his righteousness in the world." 1,000 years we got to look forward to on this earth. It's going to be a good day.